Hi, this is Ryan O'Mara, and I thought it might make a nice change to do an audio blog post of what would have normally been an article on something that's actually on my mind today. I'm currently watching the Formula One Grand Prix, and something occurred to me because, as you may know, in the United Kingdom at least, it's recently been in the news that an advisor to the government, a scientist, has actually been sacked because he said that he didn't believe the government was being truthful and honest in relation to the issue of drugs such as cannabis and ecstasy in comparison to the dangers of those drugs in comparison to alcohol. He came out and said something that I think, by and large, most of us must surely agree with. And the reason I say that is not through any pro-drug stance at all, but the stats tend to prove his case. Alcohol specifically costs many lives every year. This is not even in dispute. Not only does it cost lives, it has a social issue attached to it in terms of the problems that you'll often get on a Saturday or Friday, or in fact any weeknight, as a result of alcohol misuse. Now, the reason that I'm talking about this, because you might be thinking, what's this got to do with dogs? It's specifically to do with that old chestnut, the Dangerous Dogs Act, and more to the point, breed-specific legislation in the Dangerous Dogs Act. Because it sort of occurred to me that what we've seen here is a prime example of a government simply, instead of listening to somebody that knows what they're talking about, listening to an expert in their field that's telling the truth, that's saying, look, ecstasy and cannabis are not as dangerous as alcohol. Yet alcohol is clearly widely available, completely legal, and the other two aren't. Now, he wasn't calling for a legalization of one. He was simply trying to say that it is not helpful to anybody's cause if we are misled, and by we I mean the general public, if the government has an agenda to push and they wish to make sure that the facts fit that agenda, it seems that this case has proved without any doubt that they will do that. So instead of taking his scientific professional opinion on board, they've said that he's giving out mixed messages, and so they sacked him. Well, the fact is, he wasn't giving out mixed messages. He wasn't telling people to go and start smoking cannabis or taking ecstasy. He simply said, and I've seen a number of interviews with him now and read his original report, he simply said that cannabis and ecstasy are not as dangerous as alcohol, and that if the government wants any credibility on the debate surrounding drugs and drug misuse, then they should tell the truth. They should not try and hide behind an agenda. And I was actually Googling away this morning and was on Twitter, where I discovered there is actually a term for what the government has done, and it's called survival of the ideas that fit, an evolutionary analogy that actually describes where a powerful group, in this case a government, will use certain statistics in order to make their case whilst ignoring others. Now, I'm going to bring this back to dogs. The Dangerous Dogs Act is obviously something that I've spoken about and written about quite a lot. And I believe we've got a similar case here. And I thought what we could do is some comparisons, in that we have tried in the past, rather unsuccessfully, to ban things, in specifically alcohol. The prohibition of alcohol in America led to some quite famous mafia involvement, and people were still able to get alcohol. They just got it from illegal sources, but nobody ever was stopped from drinking alcohol. In terms of the supply, never actually dried up. It just became illegal and more dangerous, and the era is now sort of characterized by that criminal involvement. And so attempts to prohibit the public from doing something or having something or owning something mean that they just go to underground, underworld sources to get it. Now, the difference with drugs and alcohol. You've got, with cannabis, I think we could all argue that nobody's sort of clogging up the hospital system right now as a result of cannabis overdoses. And it's fair to say, I would say that if you were to go out on an average Saturday night and take a cross sample of those people who had taken cannabis and those people who had drunk 20 cans of Stella, one of those people is both in a more serious health position and also more of a threat to public safety. And I think we would all broadly agree that that was inescapable, because that's the evidence that confronts us. Yet, with dogs, what we've got here is a situation where we've made illegal a certain type of dog, a certain breed, and I use the word in inverted commas because it's not actually a breed; it's a physical type of dog. And so, again, you have the same type of problem that we had with prohibition, in that, of course, we know, and the police readily admit this, that there are probably as many pit bull type dogs now as there have ever been in this country. And the reason is because, and this is something that not everybody knows, is you can produce a pit bull type dog by breeding two legal breeds together. They can produce a dog that fits the type that is known as pit bull, and that's then illegal. And so the law on face value, is ludicrous, because that's a bit like saying, and I don't wish to sound facetious, but I am being genuine and sincere with this. Let's say we have banned cannabis, that's illegal, and it's a criminal offence to own it. But let's just say, for sheer argument's sake, that if you mixed two substances together, two perfectly legal substances, and we'll be silly with it, we'll say, if you got Kellogg's Corn Flakes and Jaffa Cakes and mixed them together, they created the same chemical compound as cannabis, and you could then be prosecuted because of that, with two completely legal things going together to produce an illegal one, I think we would all kind of laugh and say that is a ridiculous law, we shouldn't have it. And yet with the Dangerous Dogs Act and the breed-specific legislation part of the Dangerous Dogs Act, that's exactly what we've got. So this whole case has sort of brought into my thinking the fact that the government is hypocritical in terms of its intent towards protecting us. It doesn't always tell the truth. I know I'm not necessarily making any sensational revelations here, but this particular case with the scientists, the experts, all agreeing that cannabis and ecstasy are not as dangerous as alcohol, yet alcohol is widely available and legal, means that the government's credibility on the issue is severely damaged. Well, the same is true of the breed-specific legislation. The genuine experts in the dog field, and I mean experts in dogs, I don't mean experts in legislation, I mean experts in dogs, and the animal welfare organisations, the Kennel Club, they've called for an end to breed-specific legislation. The RSPCA have called for an end to breed-specific legislation. The British Veterinary Association have called for an end to breed-specific legislation. I could go on. There are any number of people who are involved in dogs and understand dogs who have called for an end to this law. These are the experts in their field. The government are not experts in dogs. And yet we still have the law. And I think this term, the survival of the ideas that fit, is absolutely apt in describing what we're getting from our government. They are simply saying to us that we must maintain this law that seeks to ban a type of breed, even though it's literally impossible to maintain. We must maintain this law in the overwhelming face of evidence and opinion against it. And I think what we have to do is to gather momentum. If you have the likes of the British Veterinary Association, the RSPCA, the Kennel Club, these are the biggest organisations in the animal sector, and those organisations are collectively saying breed-specific legislation is a failed concept and it should go, and yet the government and the people who are involved in administration at a government level continue with the law. We as taxpayers, we as the electorate, need to make our opinions known on it. We shouldn't just sit on our hands and simply say, well, it is what it is. The most frustrating thing is that there are going to be dogs that do lose their life as a result of this law, that there are countless dogs already who have done as a result of this law. Now, as an animal lover myself, if I was presented with the decision as to whether or not a few innocent dogs have to lose their life in order to protect the public, if the overwhelming evidence was that was the decision I was being faced with, I will admit here and now I would take that difficult decision and say, that's just going to have to be the way it is. Some dogs are going to have to lose their life in order to protect the innocent members of the public. But that isn't the case. That's not the case at all. The members of the public are not protected, nor will they ever be protected if the law is so ridiculously impossible to implement that you can get two legal breeds and produce an illegal one. And even if that breed is illegal, it is not necessarily by definition dangerous. It is an absolute abomination of a law. It's an animal welfare scandal. And the public is not only not protected, what we're doing is we're creating that environment of prohibition, meaning that these particular types of dogs are therefore supplied with an attachment, I hate to use the word, but a brand value. They are made more attractive to the type of people who shouldn't be having them. It's very different if these people think they're going out and getting something illegal. It gives them a buzz. What we have to do is be honest, take on board the evidence of experts, and don't let our government lie to us on the issue. Don't let them do it, because the public's not better protected. Dogs are dying, families' lives are being completely torn apart and wrecked, and as a result of that, anybody who lives in a country that operates breed-specific legislation and pays taxes, so in my country, in the United Kingdom, that is me, my taxes are going towards running this law, and I object to it. I object to it massively. I don't want to just take my platform here and speak about it and rant about it, because I feel I've done enough of that. I actually now want it changed. I don't want breed-specific legislation anymore. It's got to go. We're not talking a few hundred thousand pounds here and there. We are talking the costs to implement this failed law that kills innocent dogs and doesn't protect the public. The cost to implement that law is millions of pounds of taxpayers' money every single year. And the animal welfare scandal that goes along with that means that we can never, ever, ever have the gall to call ourselves a nation of animal lovers when our government, our state, takes our taxpayers' money to implement a law that kills dogs for no other reason than what they look like. And that's a fact. That's not me being sensational or using the survival of ideas that fit to make my own point. Because, as I say, I'd be completely honest if the straight choice was between a few innocent dogs having to die because the overwhelming evidence suggested that the public were better protected as a result, it would be a bitter pill to swallow, but I would swallow it. But that isn't the case. Millions and millions of pounds are being taken from us, the taxpayer, to implement a law that is both unenforceable, has failed, doesn't protect the public, ruins families' lives, and kills dogs because of what they look like. And ultimately, it was this particular case with the scientist that really just crystallized it in my mind once again that the government is not always out there to protect you. If they have an agenda, if they have a drum that they want to beat, they will beat it regardless or in the face of overwhelming evidence to the contrary. And the only thing that will make them listen, the only thing that will make them listen, is if they think that they're going to lose votes as a result of it. So the reason that I thought I would record this instead of write it is I am imploring people to, instead of just commenting on forums or blogs like my own, instead of just doing that, still keep doing that, but instead of just doing that, make it an issue with your MP. Get a letter written to your MP and say, I object to you taking my money to implement this law, this horrible law that is against the principles of what could be considered animal welfare. So if this audio cast does nothing else but maybe prompt you to just put a very short letter to write to your MP. We're at the stage now where it's the only thing that's going to make a difference, because they're not going to listen to reason, they're not going to listen to scientific fact, they're not going to listen to overwhelming evidence. The only thing they're going to listen to is you. When you write down on a piece of paper that says, if your policy is to continue breed-specific legislation, as a passionate animal lover, that is a major issue for me, and you will not get my vote. And so, on that note, I'd like to just leave you with that appeal, and hopefully if we all take some direct action by getting letters off to the MPs that represent us, we might make some difference. Thank you.